Translation. By his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and in the next. Unfortunately, people in general do not know what is to take place in the next life. To prepare oneself for this, for his next life, is common sense, and it is a principle of Vedic civilization. But presently people throughout the world do not believe in a next life. Even influential professors and other educators say that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. This atheistic philosophy is killing human society, human civilization. People are irresponsible, performing all sorts of sinful activities, and thus the privilege of human life is being taken away by the educational propaganda of the so-called leaders. Actually, it is a fact that this life is meant for preparation for the next life. By evolution, one has to come through many species or forms, and this human form of life is an opportunity to promote oneself to a better life. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pitri vrataha bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti mad yajinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Bhagavad Gita 9:25. Therefore, one may promote himself to the higher planetary systems, which are the residence of the demigods. One can promote himself to the Pitriloka. One can remain on earth, or one can also go back home, back to Godhead. This is further confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Chaktva deham panarjanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. After giving up the body, one who knows Krishna in truth does not come back to this world to accept a material body, but he goes back home, back to Godhead. This knowledge is in the Shastras, and people should be given the opportunity to understand it. Even if one is not able to go back to Godhead in one life, the Vedic civilization at least gives one the opportunity to be promoted to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live, and not glide down again to animal life. At present, people do not understand this knowledge, although it constitutes a great science, for they are uneducated and trained not to accept it. This is the horrible condition of modern human society. As such, Krishna conscious movement is the only hope to direct the attention of intelligent men to a greater benefit in life. Om Maganti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sargrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse and the previous verse, it's been speaking about the condition of society at present. And the biggest problem is ignorance. That's the natural condition of the material world. It's andakupam. It's a deep dark well. Or anda. It's a egg-shaped. It's egg-shaped, but inside it's very, very dark. And only by reflection from the spiritual world is there any light. And so this is the nature of everything, is that it's gradually covered by ignorance, and eventually still there's no activity at all. So, but human form of life is very different from the other species. Human form of life is like the junction, the crossroads. And so in the scriptures, tamasima jyotirgama. So tamas means darkness, ignorance. Jyotirgama, we shouldn't stay in darkness, we should go to light. And then it backs up this with two more sayings. Asato ma satgama. Asato, that which is impermanent. We shouldn't go for things which are impermanent. We should go for those things which actually last. This is natural, is it? When we go shopping, we try to shop for the best. We watch the things we ask the shopkeeper. Is it good quality? Well, oh yes, it'll last. So we naturally want the best, but we settle for the worst. This is illusion. This is ignorance. And then the last phrase is Mrityuma Amritabha. This is the end of human life. The end of all life is that everybody has to face this cruel process of death. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process is described. It gives an analogy. Is it an analogy? Or is it, what's the other one? Allegory. I think it's an analogy. What's the difference between an analogy and allegory? Allegory is a story. An analogy doesn't have to be a story, does it? It's something similar. So it's an analogy. It says there's a machine and it's rotating with blades very fast and it's chewing up everything in the universe. And this is described as death. Nobody escapes this rotating machine. This is what Puranjana, this is what Prachina Barishat heard from Narada Muni. He was preaching indirectly to him. Because the king was absorbed in material activities, he was absorbed in ignorance. Even though he was a king, still the nature of the world is that our knowledge becomes covered and you become caught up in lesser activities, karma, kanda, and so forth. And so Narada Muni, he wanted to, give him a break because he was actually a devotee. He was born in a devotee family. And that's why Narada Muni took time to preach to the king. And then he preached indirectly, and then King Prachina Barishat started to realize he's talking about me. And then he went into more detail. He started to ask Narada Muni more detailed questions. So I say this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is doing. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I know one devotee, when he first joined, he used to sit there and then he'd go, he's talking about me. And so that's a fact. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if we're actually listening, it should hit the heart. Wait a minute, this is me. And then what happens? We become inspired to ask questions. I was talking to one devotee the other day. He said, naturally, if we're actually hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we can't help but have so many questions. Look at Maharaj Parikshit. He was asking so many questions from Sukadeva Goswami. Do you think we could be in the same situation? If everybody was told you've got 7 days to live, would you be in the same frame of mind as Maharaj Parikshit? What do you think? Good question, isn't it? probably, you know, we'd start to think about so many things. So this is what we're training now, so that when we get this information, that we don't start, you know, panicking. So we're, in other words, mrityuma. We shouldn't settle for this world of birth and death. It's such a painful situation. The hospitals. Has anybody been to the hospital lately? You know, we've become so moved from the Vedic version. We've got a new form of medicine. And it just means pain from beginning to end. It's just a painful situation. If we go to the Vedic medicine, no pain. No pain. Unless we actually leave the disease until it really manifests very grossly. And so this means out of ignorance we're creating things, we're creating situations, even medicine. So just so we can try to make a better situation. But in our ignorance we make a situation which is not beneficial for us. So I'm just giving in the Madhurika Dambani. There's definitions of ignorance. So let's see if we can recognize any of these. There's five kinds of ignorance. First one, avidya. Ignorance. To mistake that which is impermanent to be permanent. That which is full of misery to be blissful. That which is impure to be pure. And what is not the self to be the self. I see Prabhupada when he was leaving this world. There's a footage film about him leaving the world, and he can barely speak. And what does he say? We are not these bodies. Don't think this won't happen to you. Such an important point. We have to come off the bodily platform to be able to practice devotional service. Into Satam Prasanga Mama Viri Samvido. Here, Kapila Devi is speaking about the process of devotional service. That it brings us to that point where we understand that we're not the body. And then he says actually real devotional service begins. All the instructions all the way through Srimad Bhagavatam are hitting on this point to try and liberate us from the bodily conception. Rishabhadev to his 100 sons. Naham deho deho bhajamri loke kastam kamam arati vidbudamte tapo divim yukputaka yena sattvam sujet yasmat kama sokyam tonantam. He's saying, my dear boys, he says, the happiness perceived through these senses can be achieved in any form of life. Even the hogs and dogs are experiencing this material happiness. He says we shouldn't search for this temporary happiness, but search for that happiness which is eternal. He says that happiness which goes through, yesterday we were talking about sacrifice. If we sacrifice now, he says then we come to the point of devotional service. We explain that, like say, our Bhagavad Gita is bringing, just by sacrificing something, not being selfish, eventually if a person starts to hear, he can go through and come to the point of pure devotional service. And Rishabhadev is saying at that point that then one experiences a happiness which lasts forever. One never loses that happiness. So it's important that a devotee, at least theoretically, understands this point. Because even in devotional service, until we completely, all the impurities are wiped off, there's always some, what's that there? There's some, what does Bhagavad Gita say? Tasmat agyan. There's always some doubt, and that doubt is coming from avidya or ignorance. So the acharyas are giving us plenty of warning. Asmita, this is false ego. The body identification of I am mine, and to accept only direct sense perception as real. Raga, attachment. The desire to obtain material happiness. And dvesha, raga, dvesha, vimuktasti. Dvesha means hatred, aversion to unhappiness, or the cause of unhappiness. And last one, we come back to the same one again. Abhinivesha, instinctively clinging to bodily enjoyments and fear that death will cut one off from all these. So this is what Srila Prabhupada's taught. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is speaking about, and this is what Prabhupada is speaking about in this particular two verses, 42 and 43. That, world's absorbed in this sort of situation. What's another example? Bhagavatam many times goes through all the different situations. Why does it do that? It really, you think, oh, we turn the page over to try and get something, with a bit more juice. But why does it actually sometimes really delineate things? Even the Bible really delineates things when it's going through Aesop begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam, it tells you all the kings and all their offspring. What's the point? They've all gone. They're no longer here. That's one point. I forgot what I was going to say now. They were on about... We've gone off a point a little bit now. It keeps emphasizing the points. We're on about the kings, and there was another point why it emphasizes. That's right, the different levels of living entities in this world. And even Madhuri Kadambini starts to emphasize this. It starts in the very beginning. What's the first stage? What's the first stage of conscious life? Anamaya. And what do we want to do? What does a baby want? What's the first thing a baby wants to do? Eat. So a living entity can be on that stage. All he wants to do, find food. I remember when I was on the Bhakti course, it was like that. I thought, the Bhakti leader were taking the Madanga. The Prashadam was over there, and he was going over there with the Madanga. I thought, why is he going over there and the Prashadam's there? he's a sadist. So this is the first stage, Anamaya. So we may be a little bit more elevated than Anamaya. So what's the next one? Pranamaya. Living entity, prana means life force, the life air. So a living entity starts to perceive that actually I exist. A baby doesn't know he even exists. But, then we start to realize that there's existence. Pranamaya. Then there's Jnanamaya. Jnanamaya means we start to differentiate between the body and the soul. It's the human form of life. So this is a stage we should be at least on, Jnanamaya. But Srimad Bhagavad Gita gives facility for the lower two stages. At least the lower one, it's giving us a facility even to work in this world in ignorance and gradually elevate ourselves. So Jnanamaya. And then we come to Vijnanamaya. So this means realization of the self. This is what Prabhupada was saying when he was leaving this world. We are not these bodies. When we actually understand, I'm not the body. Not just in theory, but we actually understand it in fact. And so this is what we are aiming to achieve in devotional service. And by the process of devotional service, all we have to do is engage ourselves 100% in the activity. It's so simple. We don't have to do any theorizing, is it? We don't have to, really be a scholar, but we have to be serious. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that even if we can't understand the instructions of the spiritual master, or we can't understand the books that he's given us, if a devotee is trying to serve Krishna with love, then he will get everything necessary for understanding the goal of life. It's called realization. And that's coming from within. It's called realized knowledge. So Nate Vidusvartikate me Vishnu. This is the present situation. Does any scholars give the interpretation for that one? the translation. Na te vidu svartikatim hi Vishnu. This is Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu, he's ready to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is not on the bodily platform. He's not in ignorance. And he's giving his father instructions. And this is one of the important ones. Na te vidu. They do not know. People do not know that the goal of life is to worship Lord Vishnu and go back home to Godhead. He says, therefore, the civilization has become, what is it? Na te vidu svartikatimi Vishnu na rasya by artamani andi yatandir upani manas. Anda means blind. It's a blind leading the blind. A world of blind leading the blind. It's only when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam class and Bhagavad Gita we can be assured, if the speaker is speaking from Bhagavatam, of course, that we get in the real thing. Everything else is very much to be avoided. So what's the process of becoming free from this situation? What's the process of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Where does it start? Here. That's right, hearing. But it starts before hearing. In Bhagavad Gita, it starts to give that Tat Shrinu. Now just hear from me. How by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. But there's another stage which Bhagavatam gives. What is that? And it's the next verse which Prahlad Maharaj was going to speak to in Hiranyakashipu. He said, Na te vidu svartikatimi Vishnu. Then he quotes another verse. Unless we smear on our bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee who's completely free from material contamination, we cannot understand this science. So Srimad Bhagavad Gita starts with the same. It says, Shushrusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katari Ruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevana. He says, if we serve those devotees who are free from all material contamination, he calls it vice, he says, then this is the best service, great service is done. And then by that activity we get what? What's the word? This is where you come in. What do we get? What does it say? We get the affinity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But this service is of a particular quality. If we don't have that taste for hearing, it means that maybe we're not focused on our service. Like Narada Muni, he said, I just heard from the Bhaktivedantas and I was not naughty. Is anybody naughty in here? Any naughty devotee? He said, I was not naughty. I heard properly, and then they benedicted me with a... It says in the Bhagavatam that I took their prasad. And many, many devotees, they want the mercy through prasad, through foot dust, through the water which has washed the feet. But actually, this is secondary to the real mercy, is that we please those devotees by service. And then they benedicted him with knowledge. This is what Prabhupada writes. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridantak Stohya Bhadrani Vidunati Sunitram. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that the most attractive thing in this material world, the biggest ignorance, is attraction to sex life. And he says if we learn this art of hearing properly, just hearing, he says we can become freed once and for all forever from this attraction. Many stalwarts have come unstuck because of this attraction between male and female, the biggest ignorance. What was an example? Subari Muni. Actually, yesterday we were speaking from that chapter about how he fell down. Is that right? He fell down because he saw two fish copulating. Can you imagine? So, he says, but just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, absorbing ourselves in service, then this material attraction starts to go far distant. So the next stage of it, so Prabhupada is saying in these purports that, and all the way through this chapter, I just skimmed through the chapter through the translations, and this is Lord Chaitanya is speaking about, what's the title? I forgot the title now. It's usually above on the. It's a tree of the Chaitanya tree, isn't it? No title. Yeah, something like that. Desire tree of devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya is explaining how this tree is coming in. There's two branches, Lord Nityananda and Lord Sri Advaita Acharya. And that the great other acharyas in line, the sannyasis, Prakashananda, Sarasvati, and so, they're like the roots of the tree. But we are part of the extension of the branches of the tree. And the whole point that Lord Chaitanya is making here is that we should preach. He said, the nature of a devotee, what's the real quality of a devotee? Good question. There's so many qualities given. What's the real quality of a devotee? Compassion. I can't remember where I read it, but I read in one purport, it said that, I said, we cannot really be called a devotee unless we give devotional service to others. And when you think about it, it's a true saying, isn't it? You know, if you're actually developing devotional qualities, there's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says that when you have developed devotional service properly, then you develop all good qualities. It says, so Kripalu is one of them. So we're not actually developed properly until we come to the stage of feeling that we need to give it to others. And so our lifestyle should be such that we start to naturally be able to implement that in our lives. It's just like in material life. There's so much to do for a materialist. You know, some people, they're so passionate that they take over the, you know, the job of like managing director of a huge firm. Now, on paper, it's like a suicide thing to do. They've so much responsibility. But once a week, if you go to his office, he won't be there. Why? What will he be doing? He'll be going. He'll be playing golf. Can you imagine? He's got so much responsibility, and he's playing golf. And golf, it's not a quick thing. It's like 4 hours, 5 hours out of the day. And so what's the point I'm making here? That, you know, as devotees, you know, he sees that his raison d'etre, his reason to exist. This is why he's working so hard. One of the reasons is so he can actually play golf at the week, during the week one day. So what about a devotee? What's his goal? What's his goal? Because his activities should complement that goal. His goal is to go back to Godhead. His goal is to go back to Godhead. So he should perform the activities which help that. And in Bhagavad Gita it says that, Lord Krishna says, there's nobody more dear to me than one who preaches this science to the devotees. And so, you know, sometime during the week, every devotee should find the time to preach. It's, you know, the thing that we should do. Like weekend, we started this weekend warriors. You know, what's the difficulty? You know, the difficulty is we've got to come out of ignorance. We've got to come out of the attachment for things which we don't really need and become attached to those things which we actually do need. Lord Chaitanya, he was travelling in South India, and he came across one Kurma Brahman. And this Kurma Brahman, he was so attached to devotional service, he wanted to follow Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, no, you don't be a crazy fellow. He says, go back home and you cultivate devotional service amongst your relatives, and also give it to others. He says, if you perform these activities, he says, the material energy cannot touch you. You'll be aloof from the material energy. So Lord Chaitanya is indirectly preaching to everybody in this age that, you know, we don't have to change our situation. You know, they're the preachers. They're the preachers, we're the congregation. You know, maybe that's one way of looking at it. What does that breed, if we think like that? It just becomes like the congregation gets, you know, the preachers, we, you know, one may join every now and again. and you know, you've got like a growing congregation. So it's like a few preachers are trying to maintain a congregation, and it's difficult work. You ask the gaffers of the manor, it's difficult. And if they're not maintained properly, they may, you know. Anyway. So, and the, you know, the congregation is growing, and there's still the same preachers, and they've got to go out on Sankirtan as well. They've got to preach to other people. It's not possible. So what does Lord Chan, what is he talking about here? I said, I gave an hint yesterday how, you know, it's better for Grihasthas to preach to Grihasthas. But even to anybody, you know, we just put time aside to do some preaching. And the whole mood of the, we keep the Lord Chaitanya's mood, and we keep Srila Prabhupada's mood. Otherwise, we start to get diverted. What's Prabhupada's mood? I think I've mentioned this story before. Maybe everybody knows it, but it's a good one to just to show his mood. He was saying that it was Harikesh Swami. He was Prabhupada's, I don't know whether he was assistant or secretary, I think. And he used to be, you know, attached to Prabhupada's apron strings. And Prabhupada kept more or less telling him, go on, get out there and do some preaching. And Harisori wouldn't go. Harikesh. And one day they had an argument. They were always arguing. That was their ras. And Prabhupada was just saying, get out! He said, I don't want to see you around here anymore. And Harikesh knew he meant it. So he packed his bags and he said, go and preach in Eastern Europe and Russia. And he said, Prabhupada, he says, So he went and preached. And after some time he came back to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so, how is it going? Prabhupada was really pleased with him. He'd gone the extra mile, and they were having so much success. You know, they hadn't seen religion for years. They'd been under the communists, and people were queuing up to take books. He says, it's great, Prabhupada, this is really receptive. He says, but there's one problem. He says, you know, there's no vegetarians behind the Iron Curtain. He says, there's hardly any vegetables. And Prabhupada, matter of fact, he said, well, just eat meat then. And he said, probably he didn't hear me, so he repeated it. He said, no, just eat meat. He said, but Prabhupada, what about my consciousness? Prabhupada said, to hell with your consciousness. So it's like that. You know, we get caught up in activities which are secondary to devotional service, like deity worship. This is very important. It's one of the five activities of devotional service. But here's the deity. If we take Brahmin initiation, there's the deity. We arrange our lives to come and worship the deity. And what is Brahminical initiation, really? Sometimes we see it as deity worship. No. Prabhupada was quoting in one purport. He was making the point that Brahman means to preach. Brahman means to preach. Because what is a Brahman? What is a Brahminical platform? It means it's the Madhyam platform. He sees the difference between different living entities. And therefore, he naturally develops compassion for those who haven't got what he's got. Very liberal. This is a Brahmin, isn't it? Liberal. Not, what's the alternative? There's liberal and miser. Miserly. Yes, yeah, so Iha Yashya Harer Dasya Kamana Manasagira Nikalash Avastansu Jivan Mukta Sauchite. So this is what we're trying to achieve. Or are we trying to achieve it now? Or can we achieve it straight away? Does anybody know this verse? It's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It says this is what this verse is about. It's saying, Kamana Manasa Gira. One who engages in devotional service with body, mind and words in the service of the Supreme Lord And here it says intelligence. He says then he's actually already liberated. Well, there's one thing that this verse says that this other verse doesn't say. It says intelligence. What does intelligence mean? Prabhupada, he was speaking to, he was in his last days, and he called for Giriraj Swami. And Giriraj Swami was a brahmachari at the time, and he thought, it must be important, they've woke me up from sleep. So he went in to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, so what do we need to do for this movement to go on? And he thought for some time, and he gave the answers of purity, Prabhupada, and following what you, you know, following strictly what you've given us. And Prabhupada added something. He said, intelligence and organization. And so this is the thing that maybe is missing from the society at the moment. Is that, you know, many times we talk about this vision, and everybody, you know, it's too much. It's too much. But what is it, vision, when we think about it? Is it something complicated? We don't do anything without vision, do we? I mean, if you're doing things without a vision, you know, they think you're nuts. They think you're an idiot. What are you doing? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. Well, that's what's happening, you know. Individually, we have to have a vision in everything we do. So what Prabhupada was wanting with intelligence and organization, it means creating a frame of mind within the society, a common frame of mind, so that there's cooperation in everything we do. So it seems like that's the next stage, that we learn the art being able to work together with a common vision. And here Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us this common vision. If we're not intelligent to, you know, create such a vision, then he's saying here, center our activities around becoming Krishna conscious and giving it to others. Because when we start to give it to others, then we have to really cooperate. Vishwambhava knows that, don't you? It really takes a lot of cooperation. So I'll not carry on any further. I'll just stop there. So if anybody's got any comments or questions.